Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Jennifer Ross, and she's with JR Global Events. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, Lee. Thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us about JR Global Events. How are you serving folks?
Well, I'll call it pre-March and post-March. It's two completely different situations, I think. We started out as a live events management agency about 17 years ago, and we've been servicing corporate events worldwide for the better part of those 17 years until pretty much March 16th of 2020. And we quickly had to adapt, adjust, pivot, which is the word that nobody really wants to say anymore, but it's what we do. And we shifted our live events face-to-face agency into a virtual social meeting management company. And we're still servicing clients worldwide, but our offerings have certainly expanded dramatically in a very short period of time.
Now, talk about, I think this is good for other businesses to hear. How did that happen? Like you, prior to March, everything is fine. You're doing what you do. There were events scheduled probably for, 6 months, a year out. And then all of a sudden, the pandemic is real. It's not this thing that's going to blow over in a week or two. How did you get your team together and kind of manage this crisis? It becomes almost like kind of a war room where we got it. Things are going to change. This is punching me in the face. I got to do something here or else, there's not going to be a business anymore.
Very much so. It doesn't get any more truer than that. And unlike many other companies as well, this was going to be the best year we've ever had as a business. Our team was in a great place. We had a good group of people working together. We've been planning 100+ live events worldwide. Our revenues were the best that they were on target to be. We had been 90% contracted for the next 2 years of upcoming events. And then we lost 70% of our business in March. The other 30% was rebooked, pushed out, rescheduled, or canceled. My business partner and I, Stephanie, I think had this moment of pause where we said, oh my God, what are we going to do? And, we've fought very hard over the last 17 years to grow this business from essentially my dining room table. We're all still at the dining room table. It's just a heck of a lot bigger now and with a little bit different look and feel to it. But we had that moment. We took our moment and said, all right, well, what are we going to do? We're planners. And by nature, we pivot. We've pivoted well before it was a thing because, you're only as good as your best laid plan. And then the ability to adapt and shift once you step on site with an event is the key to being successful as a planner. So we jumped headfirst into virtual events, virtual Zoom meetings, and then Zoom fatigue set in extremely quickly for not just our team, but the people that we were trying to host events for virtually. So we looked at it and said, well, this is not fun, and the whole reason we do what we do is because we love it. We're very passionate about it. And we believe in being the advocate or the conduit for the connectivity that happens during live events. So we started asking our team with, let's find something fun that we could offer. We created socials, and I'm sure you've seen many of these now. It's a virtual social engagement, whether it's a virtual concert or a wine tasting or anything that can be done virtually, but we added a gifting element to that. So everybody on the team was tasked with basically having skin in the game. Back to us with four. Pick four things that you think would be something other people would enjoy to do. So we started doing them in March. May is when we launched them. But in 6 weeks, we developed them.
And that's so the lesson I think for others are understand really what your core deliverable is. And it may have been in the past or in the previous years an event that was physical and three dimensional and at a location, and it was, you know, human to human interacting, but you were still, you can still create some of those feelings, obviously not all of those feelings, but you can create the feelings somewhat if you brainstorm and use leverage all your talent and your creativity to kind of redefine and re kind of position yourself in the marketplace as, this is the outcome you desire. We can still deliver that outcome, but it'll be done and delivered in this slightly different manner.
Exactly. And the parts for us that were key to this change in our approach was that everything was coming at you from any walk of life, your kids, your family, your health. Oh my gosh, I'm all of a sudden a work from home employee and I've never worked from home. So how do we leverage that? But not in the sense of to glean something from it, but how do we leverage these fast-paced work from home digital environments so that people find a moment of pause and a moment to smile and laugh and maybe do something out of character or just bring people together that have never met before. And that's the part that we really strive to achieve is the connectivity, is the bringing of the people together and making sure that there's an outcome. That's the key to any event, whether it's virtual, live, face-to-face, in-person, however it is making sure that you deliver a positive, engaging outcome.
Because I would imagine throughout all the years you've been doing this, you've seen the benefits of a meeting and an event. You've seen people and teams get together and education be shared and collaboration happen and memories be made. You've seen that with your eyes. So you know viscerally that that is true. So how can you capture some of that virtually becomes now the challenge. And this is where I would think this leans into your superpower of your team, because this is what you spend time thinking about 24/7 is how to achieve that. And now the medium might change. It may not be face to face, but it might be over a computer screen or a TV screen. But that's all within the realm of possibility in your world, I would imagine.
Correct. And I think the other thing is we're very much outside of the box thinkers. I think part of it comes with the nature of who we are and what we do as event planners. So we really wanted to explore and create the different ways we could deliver this. And we've been tracking the industry. We understand that it's going to be a long time before big live events come back. So how do we continue this momentum of engagement, and how do we continue this positive feedback and positive connectivity with people? So we took what we did from those social one-hour engagements up a notch. And we partnered with, you know, and there's, as I'm sure you know, there's Zoom and 100 other platforms out there that you could deliver something digitally for, but you're still walking away with that computer fatigue. So we made the decision in October to go find something different. And we partnered with a software company that developed a avatar-based platform. When I say avatar, people go, oh, like Sims used to be? Kind of, but now we can do it in an immersive experience where your avatar is physically walking around and you can walk past a person that you might not have seen in 10 years, but you see their name over their heads and you can engage with them. So we launched our Global Event Center November 19th, and we had 150 folks come in, and we hosted a trade show and three simultaneous conventions and entertainment. And the feedback we got was unbelievable.
And then, so now how does that work for somebody if they wanted to kind of leverage this for their own team or event?
Absolutely. So we have a couple different options there. We're, you know, because we're an extended partner with the platform company, you could own your own digital campus, or you could leverage our campus, or you could buy a limited campus, or you could rent space. And the way we view it is that I have an event campus. It just happens to not be a physical building. It happens to be digital. So you can rent like you would in any hotel or any event campus, any of our spaces, bring your people in, host what you need to host, create this engaging experience, and change the level of interaction.
And then what are some of the ways that people, what are some of the events that they've done in this space?
Sure. So we're currently gearing up for a huge event for a live holiday concert where we're live streaming in the entertainment, and the 900 person employees are all going to jump in with their avatars and come to a dance party on our beach in World while we live stream in the DJ. We also have a conference going on that will be starting for a client where it's going to have exhibitors and sponsors and keynote sessions and breakout sessions. And the avatars themselves are walking around, but the engagement is still the connectivity of your own voice. And the change in people's connection when their faces are not on screen, but they're still able to engage in voice, has been crazy awesome. It's like the introvert is no longer introverted because they're not stuck on a screen all day where people can see exactly what's going on, but their voice is still connecting.
And then, so then there could be a speaker, there could be an audience, someone can ask a question and they're asking the question just like you and I are speaking, but there would be avatars of us kind of interacting.
Correct. So we can have a room full of people, of avatars. All of the voices are the part that's engaging, and the physical room is filled with avatars. Your speaker could be sharing their video, their webcam, so everybody can see your speaker's face. Your speaker could be an avatar. It really lends itself to kind of cross some of those bridges and provide a different level of connectivity that we've not seen to this point, I would say.
Now, has this been offered to associations and organizations that do trade shows so that there can be somebody walking the floor and going into a booth and getting a demo of something?
Yes, absolutely. So our partner is the organization called Event Farm. They're the platform provider and the technology provider, but we purchased a campus. So they're hosting some of their events to kind of engage with associations and things like that. And then we also are showcasing what we can do from a exhibitor sponsorship trade show perspective.
So then you were able to go to all your existing clients and make this offer to them so that they can kind of, I don't want to say business as usual, but maybe business as unusual, and they can do it in this manner.
Business new. Yes. Bottom line is yes. And we're very, very intrigued and pleasantly, I don't want to say surprised, but pleasantly happy with the interest that we've gotten. And, you know, we're not talking your millennial groups. We're talking pharmaceutical companies. We're talking financial management companies. We're talking technology companies. So people, once they get over the, oh, it's like a game. And once they get over that impression, then they realize they can really connect with people. And your trade show people can walk the floor, walk up to exhibitors, have a conversation, see what they have to offer, and then move to the next booth. They could join us in the dance hall for a dance party if we wanted. Or you could go from breakout session to breakout session to breakout session and feel the movement of walking. Even though you're walking your avatar and technically you're still on screen, it doesn't feel it.
And then when you did this for the first time, was it something that you just fell in love with where you're like, oh, this is a game changer. This is something that even after the pandemic's over, this is something that might be able to still contribute to your business.
Instantly. I mean, the last thing I wanted to be doing as a business owner is making a large chunk investment during a pandemic when my revenue was cut. But the potential for what our Global Events Center has is not just for today. We did it as a, all right, this is our immediate need, but next year and maybe even 2 years from now, we're now in a situation where we can provide a greater hybrid opportunity so that your online audience is still captivated and engaged and participatory while your maybe smaller regional meetings of in person is also engaged and captivated, and they're all gleaning the same content at the same time.
So now, who is the ideal client for this kind of a service?
My gut reaction would want to be anybody, I think it's those corporations and those companies and those associations that really value the level of connection that's possible and are not afraid to take a chance on something new. I think what the pandemic has forced everybody to do and everybody to look at is how do we keep business moving forward and reinvent what we're doing at the exact same time? And not being afraid to try something new or different just because Joe Smith down the street isn't doing the same thing doesn't make it okay either. So there really isn't a limitation because I'm not limited by space. I'm not limited by travel at this point. It's really getting your top level executives within your organizations to look at it and to experience it and see it for themselves instead of just dismissing it as, oh, it's like a game. And that I think is the biggest challenge. And I'll be blatantly honest, it's not going to be for every single situation because there are going to be events and virtual events and hybrids and things like that that are going to require a different level of engagement that may not be for this one, but it certainly is a game changer, not just for us, but I think for the way we conduct business as a whole.
Now, is there a way for somebody to kind of see it or like, are there videos of what an event looks like? How does someone even kind of wrap their head around visualizing how they could benefit from it?
It's really hard. I mean, the ideal scenario is we jump online and I send them a link and they download it and we do it as a demo. And then once they have that platform downloaded, they can go in and walk around on their own. They can experience it on their own. And then we can also do a demo. The cool thing about it is there are some videos, but you're not getting the experience. You're seeing what it's capable of. So I really prefer to jump online, send you a link, spend 5 minutes in World together, walk around, show you what it's like, and then leave you to your own exploration, like a old school site visit, to be honest with you, from an event planner perspective.
Right. But I could share with my team and go, hey, look, this is this thing I'm looking at, and that we can all play around with it and kind of immerse ourselves in it so we can see it in action rather than imagining what it could be.
Exactly. Exactly. We would send you an email link with a download. And that's the difference between, I'd say, a lot of the platforms that are available for virtual experiences right now. And this one is downloaded, where everything else appears to be very web-based. And that creates a more robust, immersive experience.
And then do you need special equipment, or this is something that all can be done on a laptop?
It's all done on the laptop. You know, there are the older laptops, anything 5 years or older gets a little bit cumbersome, but there's workarounds for just about anything. It's capable across a Mac or a PC. And for this concert that we're doing in World next week, we actually were able to work with the company's internal IT department, and we did a silent global install on the back end of 900 machines yesterday.
Wow.
So then the attendees just have to log in, put their username in, and they're in.
Right. So when you're working with a company of that size, that's probably the most efficient way of kind of executing.
Yeah. But then again, it's a download link that gets sent to you. We provide the tech support to walk you through it. We have lots of little tips and tricks, and even the least technical person can do it. Might take a little bit more coaching on our end, but that's what we're here for.
Now, talk about why it was important for you to become a certified woman-owned business.
That's a very long conversation. So I started JR Global Events just about 17 years ago, about the same time I was starting my family. And at one point in time, I realized that I wanted to be the one putting my kids on the bus. I wanted to be the one getting my kids off the bus. But as a woman in a corporate world, as a meeting planner in the corporate world, those opportunities aren't always there. And I wanted to create an environment where I can do both. So my kids, who are now just about 17, 14, and 11, have grown up with me traveling the entire world because I can. So for me to have an environment where our employees are, you know, moms, sisters, daughters, whatever, but they know that their families come first. And we provided that environment so that they understand and we understand the value of what that means, and that you can, as a woman, do what you love on your terms, have a family, raise that family yourself, and do what needs to be done. So by becoming a woman certified and woman-owned business, I think it changes the opportunities for us to show our support for one another.
So you benefited from kind of the support you get from the network. Were you able to benefit from maybe the access to corporates that sometimes this certification allows?
Absolutely. I think, you know, as a small, well, when we're small, we're a small boutique company that many major corporations wouldn't have looked at us because we didn't either invest the time into ourselves as an organization or we don't fit the bucket. But the opportunities that have been afforded to us as a women-owned business opened some additional doors, for sure, to corporations that I don't know that we would have gotten through to. It's almost like that old school glass ceiling effect as a small business owner. There's only so far you can get without leveraging certain opportunities.
And then for you to grow and to keep moving forward, what is, again, that ideal client? Is there a certain size? Is there a certain industry? What is kind of your niche?
We are extremely diversified within the industries that we work in, and that's by design. So I don't know that we're industry specific. I think our niche is, it's so hard to equate that from a live events perspective and a non-live event. So I would tell you pre-pandemic, our niche was that 500 to 800 person multiple day conference that had some entertainment value, some social engagement, plus meetings and conferences and a lot of production. I still think that holds very true now. As to who our target audience is, we like to leverage our flexibility in a variety of different situations. You know, we have some clients we only do cultivated gifting for, but we're doing it volumes of 500 and 1,000 kits, so to speak. And then we have clients that we're only doing social engagements for, and they're anywhere from 100 to 500 people. And then we have, you know, so it really is, we can be anything you need us to be. And I don't mean to be cliche with that. We've done events, live events, for as many as 10,000 people. I personally don't enjoy those as much because they're a one-off event, for so to speak. I prefer the opportunity to build relationships within organizations where we do multiple events across a couple different scenarios for years to come. And most of our, I'd say all of our existing clients have been with us more than 5 years, and have allowed us and transitioned with us into this new space that we're in right now. And then we've, believe it or not, engaged, retained probably 10 new clients this year.
Wow.
Just by offering different services.
Now, do you work with associations or users groups or individual companies?
Yes, the short answer. We do. We have a couple association management companies that we work with, a couple associations we work directly with, and then some user groups. We're direct to some education, for-profit education companies, some financial management companies. So we really are not, for lack of a better term, landlocked to any industry.
Well, congratulations on all the success. If somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation, or maybe check out a demo of that new technology, what is the website?
Sure. We can be found at jrglobalevents.com. And everything that we offer is right on the website. And then, of course, you know, you can contact any of us or on our team. And we'd love to show you around our campus, so to speak.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thanks, Lee. I appreciate being here.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.